We're in the seventh parak of Sefer Yehoshua, and after the battle with Jericho, Yehoshua sends men to spy out the city of Ai. So according to the Malbim, the surrounding cities was included in this spying out of the city of Ai. So Yehoshua wasn't told that the king of Ai would be given over to him, as he had been told in regard to the matter of the king of Jericho. And Yehoshua also didn't realize that he lost his koach hanevuah. He interpreted the fact that Hashem didn't tell him what to do as a sign that everything was just going to be conventional. And this was a logical interpretation, since Am Yisrael, by destroying the city of Jericho, with all the other nations being a part of that battle, Am Yisrael had now all of a sudden shaken up all the other nations. So it was possible for them to conquer without Hashem having to go ahead and make changes in nature. And so therefore Yehoshua sent spies to check out that in the way that things normally proceed in a conventional battle. So the spies come back from Ai, and they tell Yehoshua that only 2,000 or 3,000 people were needed to battle Ai. And we see from the second battle with Ai that indeed they had a very strong army, and this small army that the spies felt would suffice seemed to be based on the understanding that they believed in the bitachon in Hashem. So Yehoshua sends 3,000 men to war. And the result was stunning. 36 men of Am Yisrael were killed, and the rest fled for their lives. Which, of course, scared the Bnei Yisrael, and the hearts of the people melted. And the Radak says that Bnei Yisrael were to be severely punished for violating the cheirim that Yehoshua had placed on the spoils of Jericho. But Hashem remembered the merit of Avram Avinu, who had built a Mizbeach, Bein Beit El Ubein Ha'ai, and so therefore he killed only 36. Within the process. And Bnei Yisrael knew that without Hashem's help, they wouldn't stand a chance against all the nations living in Eretz Canaan. And so the fear that the nation had felt when they sent the Meraglim now all of a sudden came back. And this fear had been previously dissolved because Hashem promised that he was going to be with the people. But all of a sudden, that was gone. And there was a challenge to the Bitachon. And our parak continues with the understanding that Yehoshua recognized that there was a problem. And so he tore his garment, and together with the Ziknei Yisrael, fell in front of the Aron HaKodesh, as the Malbim says in Tefillah, until that night. The fact that just one day before, Jericho had fallen, and now all of a sudden their Tefillos were not being heard until evening, that was an indication that the Shekhinah had left. And so, as a sign of mourning, they put ash on their head, not in mourning, because the battle was lost, but because the Shekhinah was no longer with him, so suggests the Abarbanel. And Yehoshua cries out, says the Metzudos, before Hashem, why did you take us across the Yarden to be given over into the hands of the Amori? We should have stayed on the other side, on the land that we already conquered. And Das Sofrim explains that the intent is that the nation should have waited on the other side until it became Torah again, so as to merit to have the Shekhinah come back. Alternatively, Yehoshua asks a different question. He was asking why were we brought into the land with such great miracles, only for the Shekhinah to be taken away? And that's the way the Abarbanel understands. Why did Am Yisrael flee while the nation was promised that it was the enemies that were supposed to be fleeing? So Yehoshua cries out to Hashem. Now the Canaanim are going to hear. Now they're going to join the fight against Am Yisrael. Now they're going to obliterate the name and the memory of all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu you did for us. They'll say that you became weak, and what will stop your great name from being embarrassed? So the Das Sofrim says that Yehoshua was mourning the loss of any hope for spiritual growth in the world, should the miracles from Yetzias Mitzrayim until this point be forgotten. So Hashem comes back to Yehoshua, and he tells Yehoshua that there was no need for him to fall on his face. Instead, he should take the person who violated the Cherim and remove him from Am Yisrael, and then Am Yisrael suggests the Radak, the Metzudos, and the Malbim, then Am Yisrael would be forgiven. In other words, the fact that the Shekhinah had departed could be remedied. And so, basing himself, Rashi comes along and says that defeat at Hai happened because Yehoshua had been told to go before the camp. But in the battle against Ai, he didn't go in front of the camp. So Am Yisrael was ordered to prepare, reported to prepare to get rid of evil for the following morning. And the Nasi of each tribe was supposed to pass in front of the Aron HaKodesh, which would identify the Nasi that was guilty of violating the Cherim. And some say that this Nasi remained frozen in his place, but others say that the stone corresponding to his shevet on the Urim V'tumim dimmed. And that's the way the Radak understands it. And once the guilty party was identified, then the head of each family was going to be discovered through a goro. All the papers in the lottery were blank except one which said Cherim. And afterward, the men of the family came into the same lottery. And the one who took from the Cherim would be burned together with all of his possessions because of the terrible Toeva, the abomination that he had caused, that caused the Shechinah to leave Am Yisrael, that caused the people to lose in their first battle against Ai. And just as a city upon which a Cherim has to be burned, so too the punishment for the person who took and stole from the city of Jericho and all of his possessions as well. So the next morning, Yoshua does as he's told by Hashem, and the lottery identifies one man, Achan ben Karmi ben Zavdi ben Zerach Melimata Yehuda. He violated the ban. He went against the Cherim. And even though he was chosen, Achan still, says the Gemara, did not confess to what he had done. When Achan denied violating the Cherim, so then Shevet Yehuda prepared for battle against people who challenged him. When Achan realized that his Avera was now going to be even greater if he caused the civil war, then says Rashi, he decided to confess. So Yoshua asks Achan to confess to what he had done, so that at least his Misa, his death, would be an atonement. And moreover, with that confession, everyone would see that the Goro came from Hashem, guaranteeing that in the future, when the land is going to be done by a Goro, no one would question the process, and he would go ahead and be able to proceed to divide the land correctly, even though the divisions of the land topographically don't necessarily work out to be 1,000% even. They work out to be proportional. The Ben Yehuda explains that Yoshua was telling Achan to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and confess, just like Yehuda went ahead and was Modeh when he confessed that Tamar had become pregnant through him. So Achan confessed that he had violated the Chemer of Yericho, as well as other Haramim during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a discussion in the Radak as to whether he went against three or four different Haramim or not. And Achan said, what did he take? He took a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and one bar of gold that was 50 shekels in weight, and all of this was hidden under his tent. So Yoshua quickly sends messengers to collect the possessions. And Rashi writes that Yoshua hurried to do this so that the people from Yehuda wouldn't come first, get rid of it, and then deny the Goro. And Radak counters that, no, they were sent there quickly, due to the joy in proving that the rest of Am Yisrael was going to be innocent in the process. Anyhow, the items get brought to Yoshua, and the entire nation sees the power of the Cherim, and the people decided they're going to stick to it. Nachan and his family were taken along with his possessions to Emek Achur, together with all of Am Yisrael. So Yoshua says to Achan, take a look at all the great trouble that you caused us, and Hashem will cause you trouble on this day. And Chazal explained that because of Achan's confession, he would be able to get a chelek at Olam Haba, because after all, being mitzvadeh, making a confession, makes it so that his misa becomes a kapara. So then Achan gets stoned, he gets skila, and his possessions get burned. His livestock was stoned as well. And the Radak explains that Achan was supposed to be burned, but he was being brought to be burned. The nation was throwing stones at him. And at Emek Achor, they burned him in his possessions, and they stoned him and covered him up with a pile of stones as a memorial. And at that point in time, the anger of Hashem was no longer on Am Yisrael. Achan's family was brought to see their father's punishment, just in case they carried any root similar to that of their father. And it also gives them a warning for the future, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar goes one step further. It suggests that Achan's family was actually killed because they knew what he had done, but they didn't object. And this is the seventh parak in a nutshell. So again, to summarize what exactly happened in today's parak, following the suggestion of the spies, Yoshua sends 3,000 men to fight the people of Ai. 36 died, and everyone else runs away. So Hashem told Yoshua that someone went against the Cherim that Yoshua had put on Yericho. And using the Aron Kodesh and the Urim HaBitumim, the culprit was found to be Achan ben Karmi ben Zavdi ben Zerach Lamata Yehuda. Although initially he held back, ultimately, with a fear of civil war, he admitted to his crime. He was stoned, and all of his possessions get burned. And so, with that, we come through and understand what exactly happens in today's Perek, Yoshua Perek Zion. And Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll take a look at the second challenge to Yoshua's leadership. We'll all of a sudden learn about the others who decided to ambush and try to get into Am Yisrael in a backwards way to try to protect themselves in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone have a great day.